Technorama episode 563.
We're not putting a title in here.
Oh. I had a title in there.
Oh,
I had a good title in there.
We haven't
Come
used the titles in a long time, though. We just let them sit there.
Welcome. All right, look, I'm going to ruin it for you. Like a rhinestone cowboy. That was the title
Craig
I came up
with.
Loves
his song lyrics. Last time it was it was a Boston lyric, wasn't it? More than it's a feeling. That's what it was.
More than a feeling. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Technorama. This is a show where we banter around about song lyrics, apparently, and fashion design if you join the pre-show. We take a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. Nowhere in their purses. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to Technorama. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning guest, welcome back. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well. And I'm glad to be here.
We have no in-studio guest this time. Brian is...
Well,
I can do that.
Yeah, Brian's out for a while. Maybe he's streaming from the guest house. I don't know.
Yeah,
but we miss
which
him.
Is like 50 feet from where you're at.
That's right. And he's using my bandwidth to watch my show.
He could have just walk over there and sat
in the corner and coughed or whatever he's doing. All right, thank you. We do miss Brian, and we'll try to get him back on the show. Craig will be here in studio in, what are we doing, one more episode, 564, and then we'll do 565 while you're here. So yes. We'll have some other in-studio guests who swear they're going to be here for that Friday show. We're going to do that on May 3rd, the day before we leave for our conference. So,
yes, and then you know what? I will need the relaxation before our conference.
Oh, man, it has been a brutal last couple of months leading up to this. This is...
Yeah, and,
we'll
and
get
here
into
comes
that
the,
another time.
And we'll call that the calm before the storm because it's going to get really hectic in the next week or so.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to leave it at that. This is if you work for H&R Block, this would be tax season for us. It's
That's a good analogy.
That's it.
Yeah,
this is our tax season, or whatever season you have in your industry that leads up to some big chaotic event, and then you can finally exhale at the end of it.
Yeah, it's just not as complicated as, I started to say as taxes, I meant the other way around. Taxes aren't as complicated as this.
Should we do the feedback? We asked a question last week.
All right, yeah.
Yes. I have the tabs brought up.
We got letters.
Well, we didn't get any letters. We posted something to Facebook today.
Yeah. Reach right in and pull it out.
Letters and letters and letters. Oh boy.
Doughboy.
What? It's a doughboy?
Sounds like it.
Well, sounds like Donna's choking in the corner. We don't give her enough credit. Donna's our videographer that keeps the cameras and titles running. So thank you very much.
As much credit as we do give her, it'll never be enough.
That's true. Yeah. Over 30 years, she doesn't get enough credit.
Right.
So our question last week was, what film sequel is better than the original? And we look on the Technorama page, and we got the post from Paul Pearson. He says, The Empire Strikes Back and Last Jedi, mm-hmm. The Godfather 2. I know the MCU, there's no MCI movies. MCU movies, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, are a fringe case, but I'd put up Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan is also in there. Not MCU, but that's okay.
I would definitely go with Empire. And The Winter Soldier?
Yes.
I would say that's a yes, but a close yes, because I really did
Guardians
like the first one.
Guardians 2, I don't necessarily agree with.
I don't know, Kurt Russell was cool in it, but yeah.
And I have yet to watch Godfather 2. I know I'm way behind the times.
I've yet to watch Wrath of Khan, but I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're way behind the times.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I yet to watch it this week.
I did watch Godfather, so now I'm intrigued. I want to watch Godfather too.
Oh, sure.
I know it's the basic premise of whose story it is, but I don't know any details about that. I thought Godfather was really good. Let's flip the page over to you. You got a couple replies. John Miller Jr. says, in my honest opinion, Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
And that's
Spider-Man
a good one too.
2. Spider-Man 2. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tim Seelan says, Terminator. I'm assuming he means Terminator 2 was better than Terminator.
Maybe. Yeah.
And then I take the lion's share of replies with about 20 replies. Brian Kennedy says Star Trek 2 Wrath of Khan. Definitely agree. I don't think it was hard to beat the original Star Trek motion picture.
There's things I like about the motion picture, but the bar wasn't that high. Let's
right. put it that way. The second movie could have been 2 hours of just watching a loaf of bread turn moldy, and that would have worked.
Wow. And here we go. Paint dry after the intermission.
Scott Tornio, former co-worker, says Dark Knight. Ooh, interesting.
Hmm.
Brian Parker chimes in with Godfather 2. Now I really want to watch it. Bill Lampesis says Rocky 2. That's interesting.
I can almost go with that.
You know, I liked Rocky a lot. It holds a dear place in my heart. And I liked Rocky 3 with Clubber Lang, you know, Mr. T. Yes. That one seemed a little more powerful than the first two for me, for whatever reason, because Rocky lost. So
yeah, that's right.
I don't know if I agree with Rocky 2. I may have to go back and watch it. So
I love the Rocky movies, to be honest with you. I like them all.
Yeah.
Well, except for there's a couple of them in there, but I think one, two, and three, for sure.
Yeah, 4 had a good soundtrack. I listened to it all the time. It must break you.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren, what are we going to do? Micah Martinez says The Detective from 1968. Ooh. Caught me off guard with that one. I am not a big movie buff, so I don't even know what that is. Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money, says Wayne Penger.
Yes. I remember that well.
Oh, you know what nobody mentioned? History of the World Part 2.
Yeah.
There was no right. Part 1.
You know, as a kid, I kept going, I want to see Part 1, but they never showed it on HBO.
And then he gives that trailer at the end of the movie. Look for Jews in space.
That's right.
Hitler on ice. Oh, man. Yeah. Mel Brooks had an impact. Jay Langenjen says, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, they got better as they made them. They definitely seem to have accumulated more budget to throw at those movies to make them better.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, and the kids grew a little older and they got a little better as actors.
Yes. I think Daniel Radcliffe had a turning point in his acting career where he felt like it was genuine. And I think it was after Prisoner, but I don't remember exactly which one it was. He was going through this and he said that was the scene where I felt like, okay, now I'm an actor.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I liked all of them. I would say they all kind of build on each other. I think they did a good job.
Myron says Empire. Dan Klass says Road Warrior.
The Road Warrior.
Scott Tyler also says Godfather 2 and Return of the King. Ooh, that's a part 3. Two Towers was part 2.
Yep, that's right. But well, that's kind of a sequel.
You just said sequel, so it could be anywhere in the series, I guess.
Let's give him the win. Yeah.
Tom Joseph says definitely not Highlander 2.
I agree.
Where's Brian when you need him? That was kind of his cue.
It was.
John Byers, my cousin, says Godfather 2, Star Wars Episode 5, Empire. Yeah. Aliens are arguable, but in the conversation. I liked Aliens better than Alien. And he also throws in Dark Knight.
Well, that's one of those situations where Alien had a big impact on me because I was young and it was kind of a scary movie and I stayed up to watch it when I shouldn't have been staying up to watch it.
Yeah.
And so I love it. That was a
scary movie because they didn't show you the monster.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fine art that isn't taken.
Or you only saw like bits and pieces, you know, or flashes of it, and that was it.
Scott Schmelzer says Toy Story 2. Oh, interesting. Oh,
he took my other one here.
And Christmas Vacation.
Yes,
so Steve Gingras says Green Hornet, or at least it would be hard to make it worse. Dan Letha says Wrath of Khan, and he also replied in here, let's see, my sister Suzette says The Wrath of Khan made me watch the rest of Star Trek films and I wasn't planning on it after seeing motion picture.
I hope that was good.
Okay,
I hope she enjoyed every other one.
That's a myth, come on.
I know I
challenge except anyone who puts that up there. Oh, 5 is we're not gonna
That's the speed bump in the road.
After having to watch it twice.
And life's still going on. We can watch it again.
Oh, my sister Suzette also says she likes 2010 better than 2001. I would agree with that.
Okay.
Tiffany Megan says Sharknado 2.
The second one.
And Avengers Endgame.
That's foreshadowing.
That she likes it better.
I'm actually I'm scheming to try and go see it during the day somehow. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Good luck.
Because if I don't go before this weekend coming up,
yep,
it's going to be another week before I can see it.
Maybe we could sneak it in Saturday night in Vegas. We don't have plans Saturday night, do we? Yet.
Yeah.
That's usually when we go see like Penn and Teller or somebody.
Who, me? Actually, I signed up for the Beatles Love Show again.
Wednesday night, though.
Yeah, I know.
Or Thursday, I can't remember.
It's almost, well, I still have to go see it with my family. That's the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, you go see it with your family.
I will see it again. I'll be happy to see it twice.
I'm sure you will.
Oh, yeah. I'm not above seeing a movie more than once, obviously.
It would have to be the right movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do the history thing.
Watch all kinds of stuff over and over.
Now we can play this. On this day in history for April 24th, 2019, this is the 114th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 251 days remaining in 2009. It's slipping through my hands like sand. This date in 1558 that Mary, Queen of Scots, marries the Dauphin of France, Francois, at Notre Dame in Paris. Oh, good thing they got there before the fire. Too soon?
Not sure where that accent was coming from. April 24, 1704, the first regular newspaper in the British colonial America, the Boston News-Letter, is published.
Also on that date in 1880, the United States Library of Congress is established when President John Adams signs legislation to appropriate, get this, $5,000 to purchase, quote, such books as may be necessary for the use of Congress.
Whoa.
You have to remember that Congress meant something different back then. It meant getting together.
Not anymore. April 24th, 1885, American sharpshooter Annie Oakley is hired by Nate Salisbury to be a part of Buffalo Bill's Wild West.
We saw a thing
about her and Buffalo Bill and everything when we were in Colorado. That was great.
On April 24th, 1895, Joshua Slocum is the first person to sail single-handedly around the world. He set sail from Boston, Massachusetts aboard the sloop Spray. 1895 in a sloop around the world? Are you crazy?
Well, he did it. 106 years ago today, the Woolworth Building, a skyscraper in New York City, is opened.
Skyscraper. It must have been, what, 7 stories tall?
You know, when I first heard that word, I kept imagining some old witch with long fingernails scraping the sky.
I pictured, like, the peak of the Empire State Building poking through the blue of the sky. Right.
The space.
And I thought that's kind of where cirrus clouds came from, is a skyscraper must have scraped a little too hard.
Yeah, that's right.
April 24th, 1914, Frank Hertz experiment, a pillar of quantum mechanics, is presented to the German Physical Society. 1914, and they were messing around with quantum physics.
You know what? I was fascinated with this one right here for a long time when I first heard about it. So Ernest Shackleton and 5 men of the Imperial Antarctic Exhibition launch a lifeboat from an uninhabited Elephant Island in Southern Ocean to organize a rescue for the crew of the sunken Endurance on this date in 1916.
It's amazing anyone lived. That is an awesome story of survival.
Yeah. Gave me a book about that.
Google Maps where Elephant Island is. It's in the middle of freaking nowhere. And they just, let's set out.
Well, somebody gave me a book from that, and it actually had a few photographs in it. And it was fascinating.
April 24th, 1918, the first tank-to-tank combat in World War I. During the second battle of Villers-Bretonneux, the British Mark IVs meet 3 German A7Vs. I picture the Atari tanks.
Yeah. Also on April 24th, 1922, the first segment of the Imperial Wireless Chain providing wireless telegraphy between Leafield and Oxfordshire in Oxfordshire in England and Cairo, Egypt becomes into operation.
66 years ago today, Winston Churchill is knighted by Queen Elizabeth II.
April 24th, 1967, cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov dies in Soyuz 1 when its parachute fails to open. He is the first human to die during a space mission.
Oh,
and you know what I was just thinking?
There's a trivia question. Who's the first human to die during a space mission? It's Vladimir Komarov.
Well, we talked about how hard those things hit the ground when they're coming back from the space station.
You don't want to try that with a parachute.
No.
It was 29 years ago today that the Hubble Space Telescope is launched from space aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery. Cool.
Yes. That was so cool to see.
Yes. And it's still up there. Happy birthday goes out in the state to Swedish-American engineer and businessman, developed the zipper, Gideon Sundback, born on this date in 1880. There you are. Another trivia question. Who invented the zipper? Gideon Sundback.
And Oskar Zararsky, a Russian-American mathematician and academic, was born on the same date in 1899.
American actor, director, and producer Richard Donner is 89 today. He's still around.
Mr. Superman. American actress, singer, and dancer Shirley MacLaine, born on this date in 1934.
Born April 24th, 1940, American author Sue Grafton.
And also turning 78 today is Australian-English guitarist and composer John Williams.
American lawyer and politician, 54th mayor of Chicago, Richard M. Daley, was born on this date in 1942.
And also turning 77 is American singer, actress, activist, and producer Barbara Streisand.
Barbara. Also born on the same date in 1947, American biochemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Roger D. Kornberg.
And American actor Michael O'Keefe is 64 today.
American director, producer, and screenwriter Eric Kripke. Supernatural. Born on this date in 1974.
And last but not least, also born on the same date in 1982, American singer, songwriter, producer, actress Kelly Clarkson. Wait, Kelly Clarkson!
That's the way it was on this day in history for April 24th, 2019.
Hey, we lined it up.
Now we missed the listener birthdays. We got to go back. Happy birthday goes out of the state. Yes?
I was just going to say, by the way, I know we said 29 years ago today the Hubble went up, but you know, it just celebrated its 30th birthday.
Because why?
The Hubble?
Yes.
It did.
How is it? It was launched 29 years ago. How is it 30 years old?
Did it not say, is that not what I read this week? It was celebrating its 30th year.
Oh, 30th year. That's different. That's like, this is the 21st century. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Just celebrate its 30th year.
Yeah. Because we're going to go into our 15th year of podcasting soon. I get it.
Our 20th.
Round up depends to the what, nearest
depends
millennia.
On what calendar you're using.
Round up to the nearest millennia. Happy birthday to our listeners out there. The 29th is Shepherd Tom from Outside the Known Universe. Good for him. I'm sure he got here by some intergalactic dimensional plane thing. The 29th is also Tim Carey or Carr. I'm going to have to wear you. And Julio from Tijuana. Julio Diaz is on the 30th. We wish you all the best. And if it's your birthday this week and you're not on the calendar, we wish you a happy birthday. Anyway, whether you like it or not, you get a happy birthday. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar, get a shout out at the appropriate time of year, you go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and you add your name and we'll give you a shout out just like that. You're part of the team. Now, can we do the news? Let's do some news. What do we got?
I'm telling you,
the rest of the show is all about bots. That's it.
By the way. Yeah, I did. I did that on purpose.
Yes.
By the way, I'm totally wrong. I meant 28 years because it went up 29 years ago. The Hubble telescope celebrates 28 years, and they were showing some special pictures that they've taken with it.
I'm still confused, but that's okay. Let's move on.
It's been
good news, anyone.
It went up 29 years ago, and it's been in service for 28.
It didn't take a year to get into service. Are you talking
about
that?
It did. Remember, the lens was broken.
It wasn't broken.
Remember, the lens
was
wrong.
Focus. They had to fit it with corrective lenses.
Yeah, they went to LensCrafters and picked up a
pair. Pretty much. They gave it glasses.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. You can have this first crazy story because it looks fun enough.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
So NASA is building an inflatable space robot named King Louie.
From the Jungle Book.
Yeah, whether it's serving as a helpful Robbie the robot-style assistance or to human astronauts or carrying out remote explorations where humans dare not or simply do not want to tread, there are plenty of reasons why robots have a valuable future in space missions. But don't expect that the bots best suited for life in the stars will necessarily look like the ones that we're used to seeing here on Earth.
This one looks like more like a piece like of exercise robot equipment.
It does, doesn't it?
But so his arms are detachable because they show it on like a four-wheel lunar rover kind of style thing.
Yeah. Actually, it looks like a punching bag.
He does. Why did they give him this crazy headgear that we use for sparring? I don't understand that.
In case he bumps his head. So the latest example of this is King Louie. Yes, named after the rowdy orangutan from Disney's 1967 movie.
I win.
The Jungle Book.
I win. Probably because he's got really long orangutan arms.
It's kind of... Anyway, developing using funding from NASA, the inflatable creation may appear more like a float on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Kind of does.
And a state-of-the-art robot, but actually a pretty damn interesting glimpse of the future of robotics. So robots like King Louie are essentially made up of bags of air, hence him being inflatable, surrounded by a fabric shell that is ideal, that is really strong. Mark Kilpak, the professor of in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at Brigham Young University.
BYU.
Yeah, BYU.
BYU.
Who worked on the project told Digital Trends. Louie's movement is controlled by inflating and deflating different chambers of the limbs. For instance, inflating a chamber in the bottom of his arm makes the arm move up. Inflating a chamber on the top makes the arm move back down.
Oh, is that why he looks like he's all bandaged together? Okay, I was trying to figure out why he looked so...
I don't think that sounds... It didn't sound very efficient. I may be wrong, just pumping air in and out.
Sure it is.
I mean, as opposed to a motor, you know...
Yeah, motors are mechanical. They'll break down.
Well, so will the pump that's putting the air in there.
Easy to replace a pump.
Easy to replace a motor.
Not necessarily. Depends.
We can do this all night long. Yeah. We can do this all night long.
You came here for an argument.
No, I didn't. As much as they function the same agnostic way as a pair of muscle pairs in the human body, where one muscle contracting, yes, say your bicep, means another one in case of the tricep relaxing, using only air pumped into the joints. Kilpak estimates the robot's current payload capacity is equivalent to that of a more traditional robot, like the Rethinks Robotics Baxter robot, which there's a link in there to that. No, I'm not familiar with it. Oh, that's an interesting looking robot.
If you're watching the video, you've seen kind of what he looks like, and there's some videos in there as well of inflating and deflating. He picks up a basketball, puts it in the bucket. It has some pretty cool stuff.
Hey, pick up that wrench.
Pick up that knife. He stabs himself.
He starts going all over the International Space Station.
We have more robot news from newscientist.com. Zero gravity robot cleaner could automatically sterilize the ISS. Make this font a little larger so my poor old eyes can read it. Are you a busy astronaut with precious little time to clean your orbiting home? Do you find it hard to reach those awkward spots behind spacecraft control panels where the bacteria love to lurk? Then you need Germ Rover, the must-have labor-saving sterilization device for the modern space traveler. Astronauts currently spend several hours a week wiping down the inside of the ISS to get rid of the microbes that previous residents have left behind. Ew. It's a laborious and unpopular task, and unfortunately, I can't read much more of the article until I subscribe to newscientist.com.
I actually was able to see it earlier. Huh.
Bummer.
I will.
Okay.
But, you know, I think keeping that thing sterile would be a big issue.
It looks like they have quite a few like UV lights on it. You know, kind of like you used to sterilize the safety glasses in middle school. Although I'm not sure that entirely worked, but.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. I've seen water bottles with UV lights on them. You can turn on the light and it's supposed to sterilize the water in the
What if it roamed right over one of the EPROMs and they didn't put the sticker over the little window?
Oops.
You just erased life support.
Yeah. Hey, can we get a download, Houston? We got a problem.
I got one right here. Like, here, I'll show you on camera what I'm talking about.
Yes.
See the little window? Those. Yes. And now, granted, nobody uses these anymore. They usually
You'd stick them in a little thing, in a little tray, and the light would come on, and it would flash the EEPROM.
Yeah, and it would take about 20 minutes. And I thought that was an interesting concept of a way to erase the programmable memory.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we don't have to do that anymore, or I'd have to buy one of those. A little ultraviolet
camera. I wish we had a camera on Donna right now. She'd be like, buying something else.
More gadget stuff. Great.
Her eyes are rolling now. I can hear them.
You can hear her eyes rolling. That's right. I'm going to get a t-shirt. I can hear my wife's eyes rolling from here.
Yeah.
You have another bot story for us?
I do.
Or something yet closely another. Related? We're not as good as segues on this show as we are on the topic of Trek, but that's Clinton's domain.
That's right. So does disastrous lack of diversity in AI industry perpetuates bias, study finds, which I'm kind of surprised we haven't surpassed gender bias in robots, for crying out loud. So lack of diversity in artificial intelligence field has reached a moment of reckoning, according to findings published by a New York University research paper. A diversity disaster has contributed to flawed systems that perpetuate gender and racial biases, found the survey published. I mean, who did they ask?
What they're finding is that the programmers are biased, and the data that they're feeding to these AIs for machine learning is not diverse enough.
I understand.
So when the AI is making decisions, it's a biased decision because the data input is already biased.
How can you not impress yourself upon whatever you create?
It's not themselves. It's the data samples that they're feeding. Because you know how we have this in our software at work. If you give it 35,000 records and say, based on these keywords, you categorized it this way and you sent it to this assignment group, for example. And it will say, okay, I've got a pretty good model to build that on. Well, do you really? If somebody, all you're doing is saying that's the direction it went in the past, that may not be the right direction going into the future because you may be biased into how those assignments were done originally or the categorization was done originally.
But I would also argue all those records that you just put in there, if there was a information from 50% men and 50% women, and the men answer it kind of certain ways, and the women do it in certain ways, then gender bias would actually be a positive factor because you're going to get a whole mix.
Right, but what they're saying is that's not happening. If you read the second paragraph, the AI field, which is overwhelmingly white and male, is at risk of replicating the perpetual historical biases of power imbalances, the report said. Examples cited include image recognition services making offensive classifications of minorities, chatbots adopting hate speech, and the Amazon technology failing to recognize users with darker skin colors. The biases of the system built by the AI industry can largely be attributed to a lack of diversity within the field itself, the report said.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
No, okay. So
it's
all right. All right, look, I was being a little lighthearted about it, but yes, it does make a lot of sense when you put it in that. When you let me read the second paragraph.
Well, we have a guy at work, Dave Wright, who goes on about futures and whatnot. He's really good about this stuff. So he's fascinating to listen to and wish I had time to sit down with him and have an intelligent conversation, but it would pretty be more one-sided at that point.
You know, I do find probably not enough to pursue a career in it, of course, but looking at demography data and trying to figure out stuff like that, and, you know, I would say that this kind of fits in there, trying to figure out a model to where data should go or what it points to. I love doing that kind of stuff. Remember, what was that guy? Oh, yeah. I was on a plane. And the guy, this is a professor. He was he told me he was trying to figure out how to work video games into his curriculum. And he was using demographics mm-hmm. and his students.
Uh-oh. We just lost connection. Craig froze up. Craig, you there? Oh, man. Well, you know what? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek, coming at you right from Portal 47 and all things Trekland. And you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Quiet, please. Quiet. Please take your seats. Good morning and welcome to Technorama 101.
Oh, dang, wrong class.
All right, then. I am your instructor, Mr. Tomasi. My partner, Mr. Step, will be here shortly. This class is 16 weeks long, consisting of several units of study, including, but not limited to, offbeat news, hacks and strange stories, and our history unit we call Remember When. You'll be expected to visit the Media Corner on campus and, of course, the Geek Library for all of your research. Oh, and I almost forgot. Calling into the listener line will earn you extra credit. Now, if you open your browsers and go to chuckchat.com, you'll find links to Technorama there. Good. Let's get started. Who can tell me the three main characters in the Star Trek original series?
Hey, I almost forgot the music.
Can you hear me now?
Nice of you to join us.
I never left. You kept talking. I was like, I'm right here.
Yeah, you're froze up and I heard nothing. So we got that sorted out.
I don't know how far you heard me go. I was just saying that I was sitting beside a professor and he was doing stuff with demographic data and he wanted to integrate video games with his students.
That's as far as we got.
And he couldn't figure out how. It took me like 2 seconds and went, how about stuff like SimCity or something like that? You know, where you're yep. trying to, you know, like Roller Coaster Tycoon, you know, where you're trying to build stuff and get people interested, move around. He was like,
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. Not that. But he said, wow, that's a great idea. So I was like, well, you're the professor for crying out loud. Shouldn't you know this kind of stuff? I don't know. Anyway, I gave him a tip. There you go.
All right. Another robot story. What do you know?
Yeah, surprise.
This one's kind of creepy. I swear, Black Mirror just ruined Boston Dynamics for me forever. I'm never going to trust those robotic dogs.
Oh, I need to go finish Black Mirror.
From Mashable.com, it says, when death finally comes for us, it will announce its presence with a roar or perhaps with nothing at all, letting the permanent silence that follows our eventual destruction speak for itself. Boston Dynamics, who I'm sure you're aware, make those like dog robots and crazy things. A company whose main export appears to be unsettling videos of robotic creations. This offered one possible answer. Death sounds like 40 robot dog legs marching together in unison across a lifeless blacktop parking lot. And that alone is creepy because they're just going. Yeah. Chunk, chunk,
chunk, chunk, chunk, chunk. Army of robot dogs.
On April 16th, embedded above in the video that you see, go through the show notes, truckchat.com/technorama, et cetera, et cetera. It shows 10 of the company's spot robots pulling a large semi-truck. What would you call it? Well, in the UK, it'd be a lorry, a box truck.
Kind of yeah, thing. Truck.
Yeah. It's offered up one possible answer. Let's see. Oop, I missed paragraphs because I scrolled. The robots work together like a dog sled team. Well, they're not going to win the Iditarod at this pace, but you get the idea. and the coordinated thud, thud, thud of their robot paws will soon no longer be confined to Boston Dynamics office. Quote, these spot robots are coming off the production line now and will be available for a range of applications soon, the company writes in a note accompanied by the YouTube video. Oh, joy.
Hey, think of all the gas they'll save having these dogs just pull the trucks.
Don't think that's quite how it works.
Oh.
But if they made faster ones, then they could get into the Iditarod, except their skinny little legs would fall through the snow.
Hey, I do like that one shot in the video where they're all laying down and they stand up and start acting together.
The shot from the front. Yeah. It's a little unsettling.
They're all like, woo, okay. Yeah, that's pretty
attack.
Cool.
And the two in front look like they have guns on their heads.
Kill all humans.
Right.
Speaking of weird.
Yes.
Russian news anchor robot sparks propaganda controversy. So a Russian news channel is reportedly starting using a robot to anchor some of its newscasts. It's not as creepy as the animated ones. Remember Korea or something like that?
Yep.
Where they do the funny animation. Alex started reporting stories on Roycia 24.
Looks like he had a little too much vodka last night.
And he looks a little out of it. About agriculture and nuclear technology, among other topics. The robot was, the allergies are starting to take me down as we speak. The robot can only move its head and facial features, but when it's finished, it will be able to move its limbs as well. It's like, okay, I'm done with that.
Disney's been doing this for years. I mean, look at Abraham Lincoln when he gives his Gettysburg Address.
Yeah. So Alex had caused some controversy with some viewers saying it spouts propaganda in its fake news generator.
Others have mocked it.
Yeah, that's right. Others have mocked its slightly odd-looking appearance. The channel says Alex is completely Russian-made. It reportedly costs more than 1 million rubles, which is roughly $15,600.
Yeah.
And most viewers believe it's a stunt to promote Russian-made technology. Alex's production began in 2017 and is expected to finish later this year, the BBC reported.
I want to see a video of this guy. All we have is a screen capture off of one of the Russian TV with the subtitles. Hey, we can do the podcast with one of these things. Welcome.
Yeah, we'll just take the night off and we'll get Craig and Chuck in there.
My name is Chuck. Someday I'll be able to move my arms as well.
We've been podcasting for 30 years.
Ha, ha, ha. You mean 13 years.
You so funny. Me love you long time.
We will get artificial intelligence upgrade soon and be able to make up our own stories.
Oh man, yeah, it reminds me of those animated stories that Korea or whatever that news outlet was spitting out.
Technorama anyway. Was creepy on you. That was it. All right, we want to give a shout out to the chat room because we have people here every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time. Well, a lot of them showed up at about around 9:30, as I mentioned earlier in the show. We have my cousin Loriana, John Miller Jr. I also see Tim Elliott, Craig Stepp, whoever he is. Ben Rangitin was on for a while. He might still be.
Was he?
Yep.
He could have actually been here tonight.
Oh, well. Well, he could have. I suspect he's saving up his sleep cycles for when you're here in person.
Okay. All right.
And do you see anybody else?
Yeah. Loriana Byers Miller.
Yeah, that's my cousin Loriana.
Oh, did you say? I'm sorry. Yes. Elton Chapman.
I did not see Elton.
Elton's from Scouts. We're Tim Elliott.
We're testing the artificial intelligence that is Facebook now.
Yeah. Ah, Sonny and Judy Carnes, our old neighbors, and okay. Carla Stubbs.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in the future. Now, should we do our... We'll roll right into the Patreon thing.
Right.
Because we get to thank the people who make the show possible. They help offset the cost of hosting and bandwidth and software upgrades because, you know, making a podcast isn't as cheap and free and easy as they said it was once upon a time.
That's right.
And without these people, we're going to steal a line from Michael Butler. This show would die a horrible, putrid, stench-filled death. I'm starting to use that more at work for some reason.
Be careful what meeting you use that in.
Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
Wait, that Noble John?
That Noble Gases, yes. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorga Schrawen, John Miller Jr., that John Miller Jr.,
yeah,
Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, Amy Bowen, Denise Inglis, and is anybody going to finish up with anything after Stephen Weshy?
Weshy! So, hey, we got three empty slots just for you, waiting.
I'm putting a note on my computer right now to reach out to Avner to let him know we're coming. I don't know if it's going to work or not because I keep forgetting to call him.
That's what Todoist is for.
Oh, I can't do it in the middle of the show. That would be rude. So I just, now I can put it in Todoist and I will get it done.
What? You can't type something in?
Not during the show. If you want to be part of this, you can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And for as little as a dollar a show... If you notice the microphone bouncing up and down, it's because Donna is bouncing up and down and it's transferring to the desk.
Instead of saying as little as a dollar a show, say starting at a dollar.
Starting at. With prices as low as a dollar a show.
That's right.
Like, kind of like buying a car. Starting prices.
Yeah, but if you want auto windows and power windows and air conditioning.
Thank you very much. Head over. Whoops, I thought I stopped the music. There, yeah. Now it stopped. I fade down. Didn't work. Technorama Podcast. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast for all your Technorama fun to help support us. Thank you very much to every one of you. They get special content that comes out. We record it right after this, but oddly enough, it comes out before. So we may say things that they're going to have to wait a day or two to actually find out what the prequel was. We do that just to mess with them. All right, let's finish up with the Geek Library, and then we are kind of out of here. Where's the Dave Dorman theme number one? There it is.
Theme number one.
It's what it says, Dave Dorman theme one.
What does number two sound like?
Oddly enough, the file is named Dave Dorman theme one mp3.wave.
Somebody did a couple of conversions there, it sounds like.
I think so.
That's right.
We have another robot story. How about that?
Well, sort of. This one's more of a virtual bot.
Okay, take it away.
So bots drove nearly 40% of the internet traffic last year.
Who was driving the other 60%?
Are getting smarter, huh?
Who drove the other
60%? Actually, you know, when I read this title, I kept thinking, how was it just the other week we were talking about how many phone calls, robocalls were actually.
Oh, doing, yes, you know, yes, yes.
Just like half the phone calls ever in a year. Anyway, Distill Networks today published its 2019 Bad Robots Report.
Bad Robot. Robot. The Bad Bot Report.
That's right. Which looks at the current state of automated web traffic, both good and bad. I don't know how it determines that. The paper highlights some of the startling figures, including bots accounted for 37.9% of all online traffic in 2018. Hmm. This is admittedly a startling number. I agree. But it actually represents a welcome decrease in last year's figures. So the decrease can be found across legitimate bot traffic, like, for example, scrapers, travel sites to identify flight deals, et cetera, as well as ill-intentioned bots like those who conduct denial of service attacks. They are slumped by 14.4% and 6.4% respectively. The share of human traffic, on the other hand, grew by 7.5% to 62.1%. So the humans are still winning in this tug of war. So anyway, you can go in and see. It's not clear why the shift took place, and Distill does not try to
doesn't try any qualitative analysis to figure
qualitative
out
qualitative analysis. Excuse me. Thank you. To figure out
why. They don't have any koalas on the internet.
No. So one plausible example would be increasing levels of internet access, largely coming from developing countries, which bolstered the proliferation of affordable smartphones and low-cost data plans. And the paper did an excellent job of highlighting the challenges faced by these combating bot traffic. You know, we're going to have to make bots to tackle the bots.
Exactly. If we can identify that they're bad bots, why can't we filter them?
I'm just trying to figure out how they identify. What was their criteria to say, hey, this is bad traffic, this is good traffic? I guess DDoS is pretty easy to figure out, but...
Right.
You know.
20% of all internet traffic is bad traffic, according to that pie chart.
Yeah.
That's a bit frightening. That's why your router light is constantly flashing. Somebody's trying to hit it.
I know. Well, you know, I did one time, packet capturing outside of my firewall, and it was all kinds of stuff. It was ridiculous. And that was several years ago. I just, you know, I had put up a Linux box and I just grabbed some data, Ethereal? No.
Wireshark.
That's what it was. Use Wireshark and grab some data and try to look at it. Some of it, I had no idea what it was trying to do. Other things you could kind of clearly see. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, anything. Hey, well, the other day I spun up a virtual machine in AWS, had to have SSH open to it. And by the time I SSH'd into it, there was 144 incorrect login attempts. But that was the, what was it? Eric Williams had my coworker. He had one. It was like, was it 1,000? It was like 900. I can't remember the number. It was something ridiculous. A number of attempts of trying to log in.
Wow.
That's why all my machines have a key and no password.
You just reminded me of something else. I got to jot down here. Hold on a second.
Oh, say we're reminding Chuck of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes, if it's real, then you know it's terrible out there. Okay.
There. Well, it's security related for our conference.
Oh, for me?
No, for me.
Oh.
Because I'm making something out of Raspberry Pis, and I'm running Node-RED, and Node-RED doesn't have any authentication out of the box. So if you just hit that host with 1880, you could potentially screw up my whole flow.
Right.
So I got to put some security on that thing. I did change the default Pi password, so...
Please.
There's that. Yes.
Oh, man. There's, you know, if I had a dime for every time I've had to tell somebody, please go back and make a better password. You know, they wrap the word with exclamation points. Not good enough. Oh, you got a number in there now. Tracking it.
Hash password. No. That's not fixing the problem.
Yeah. I forget what it was, but it was... You can look at it and easily go, okay, if I can easily read it, it's not good. Right. But I understand that you got to kind of get a balance and come up with one that somebody can easily type. But, you know, it's got to have enough numbers and symbols to at least make it difficult.
Well, the thing that drives me nuts is you get one of those formulas that has number symbols and mixed case. And then you go to a site that says, we don't allow those characters. You don't, I can't use a percent. So now it's like, oh, heck with you, man.
Yeah. I was using LastPass and I'm going, oh, let's make a password. Let's make a password. Go to one site. I'm sorry. We can't use the caret.
Yeah. Like,
what?
Or a plus.
Plus. Please sanitize your database inputs.
Our question of the week is the telephone as we know it. Extinct, or is it still useful? And there's a video in here that goes for about 6 minutes. I recommend about the first 2 minutes. The guy he keeps going on and on and on, though.
He does go on and on about it. I do like Steve Dotto. That's more of a vlog kind of thing. He does some... I watch his videos, not necessarily to... Sometimes I get a little information from it, but I like his delivery on a lot of stuff. So I watch it to kind of learn his delivery. He's a good speaker. But if you go and watch the video, you'll see what he's talking about. He had changed his outgoing message to literally say, hey, either leave me a message or send me an email because I'm not answering.
I'm not answering the phone because he got so many spam callers, he just wouldn't answer the ones he didn't recognize. If it's not in his phone directory, if it's not in his contacts list, he wouldn't answer. And I get that. You can change your behaviors and just ignore the phone. What I started doing is I downloaded an app called Sleep. And whenever it sees an appointment on my calendar, it silences the phone. So if I'm on a WebEx or Zoom or whatever, and I'm meeting on my computer and I'm using the computer audio, my phone isn't going bling, bling, bling. You know, while Craig and Clinton are having a conversation, my phone is silent. And that gives me peace of mind that everything is going to be queued up and ready for me when I get back there.
Yeah, I think it was, I'd use something like that.
You can manage your alerts and lifestyle and incoming phone calls, but just to dismiss the whole thing and say, oh, the phone's no good anymore anyway, because people are abusing it.
Yeah.
There's ways around. You can tell your phone to only accept calls from your contact database. I mean, if that's what he wants, then fine. Well, put it in that configuration.
The trick is, especially at least on my phone and yours, is I have to put it in do not disturb and say allow these contacts. I could do all contacts or adjust my starred ones. And I generally just do all my starred ones. But, you know, I don't know. I'm getting tired of those calls, too. I always go, who's calling?
It seems to have calmed down. But quite literally, if the phone is it's in silent the majority of the day, because I'm in meetings the majority of the day now. Yeah. And if I glance at it and it says, you know, 920-544-1234, because they think it's going to be cute to use the same area code and prefix, and like I'm going to recognize that number and therefore pick it up. I'm like, no. If it happens to be something local, like a doctor letting me know I've got an appointment tomorrow, fine. They leave a message.
Speaking of which, this is the weirdest. Oh, this is so creepy. I watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. He was talking about robocalls.
Yes.
And one of his examples was the guy recorded it. It sounded like a person calling. It sounded like a real person calling. Said, hi, I'm so-and-so, da-da-da. He said, and he have got to the point in the conversation, the guy goes, hey, will you please say you're not a robot? And there was this uncomfortable silence, and you went, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
He tripped it up.
It would mean a lot to me if said,
yeah, we talked about you're not a robot. The AI robotic calls. Yeah.
Yeah, he said, it would mean a lot to me if you would say, I'm not a robot. And it went, okay, let me explain the deal again. It would never say, I'm not a robot. The AI would kind of dance around it. It was the weirdest thing. It was creepy. But it would have the silence light and then go, no. This is what, and it would start going into its spiel again. It was weird.
Interesting.
But close to being a decision tree. Yeah. You should go watch that. Cause it is pretty fast. I'll go see if I can find the time stamp and you can watch that.
All righty. Just another quick reminder. Craig will be in the studio May 3rd.
Woo-hoo.
We'll see if we can do a broadcast at that time. I don't know if we can or not. Donna will be out of town at that point. So we won't have a videographer. We appreciate everything she does for the show on normal weeks. We'll give her the week off. Yes, she has to go north, back to the homeland.
Go north. Trek north.
Brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate you giving us your time once again. And if you want to find out more, you can go to ChuckChat.com/Technorama. Sorry, I had
first time thinking about that.
No, I was just verifying what was on the screen.
Another thought occurred to me. Let me write
contact
that down.
Contact us. Listener line 707-530-2428. I hope it's still in service. Nobody's used it in quite some time.
Please help us break it in.
Again.
Break it back in.
Get the cobwebs off of there. We're good. Or you can send us email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Post on the Technorama Facebook page is where a lot of our activity happens to be. You can find that link and everything else over at Technorama page, chuckchat.com/Technorama. Wow, it's going nowhere fast, so let's get out of here. Thank you once again. Tell a friend about Technorama. And Craig, give us a binary high five.
101. I'll see you next week.
Well done, my friend.